from the apologies from the management.
Shedraya, member of the committee.
Jacob Pandalenda, member of the committee.
Emmanuel Makubane, member of this committee.
Thank you very much for the introduction. DJ, start with your presentation.
Thank you. The presentation is about the annual report of the Department of Public Works for the year ended 31 March 2018. We will do the presentation in two parts. Part A will cover the general performance information, and it seeks to be a concise thing that it is not quite as small as it should be. Summary of the key issues in the actual annual report that has been taken to Parliament. Part A will deal therefore with the information generally, and the Part B will deal with the annual financial statement, including my reference to the pages that were covered in the report as a reflection of the membership of the elements that were covered. Next slide. I think I've covered that strategy. In starting and then in context, this annual borders initiative has been prepared in accordance and in line with government policy and practice of the which is practically driven by the relevant contributions that the department makes in the 12 outcomes that have been the basis of child service delivery in this term of office of the government and parliament. The delivery agreement that outlines where we participate has been highlighted in yellow amongst the outcomes. And they cover the areas that the minister signed specifically for the major government with the president. And I'll just deal with and relate to those. And the third environment through inclusive economic growth is aimed to keep a workforce to support inclusive growth level. An efficient, competitive, responsive economic infrastructure network or contribution to this and more sustainable human settlements and improve the quality of life of household life. And the one that is on the side, which relates to the posture of what civil service and civil servants are supposed to be. Also, we have taken into cognizance the relevant aspects that relate to the State of the Nation address of 2013 by the President, whose theme was an infrastructure development address. Outcome 6, an efficient, competitive, responsive economic infrastructure network, which is really at the core of what the Department is about. I think I'm in that slide just highlighting the various areas where we're contributing back to the infrastructure, and I will not go into that. Chair, our approach as we look at and particularly looking at improving the business of the department is we look at the center is seeking to address the core business of the department. In dealing with that, we've got enablers, which are support functions like human servants, information technology networks, and business processes. Others would then relate to the support functions like the strategic plan, and APP, the budget, and the implementation plans. Our core business covers the following areas: strategic asset investment analysis, which is done in one of the branches, but project and professional services, the process of dealing with addressing the inner city regeneration responsibility requirements, but also utilizing the assets of government as enablers and to generate efficiencies in the various locations, be they urban, be they rural. Operations management, key accounts management, proceeds management, construction and property policy, regulations, and oversight. Chair, in setting the context, and in particular, the area that is generally accepted as an indication of the health of any organization, and in particular, our department. We want to indicate the journey of the department to the most acceptable measurement of progress in any department, which is the auditing outcomes. Just setting the scene with regard to the history, starting from 2007-8. Where we had an unqualified audit report, and I think in particular, I think that I'm not sure, but I felt that in the area of movable functions with the addressions, because of time, we were in the process of understood by the interpreter that we needed to have put a process to deal with the issue of paying off and sorry, that we have an action to understand that is appropriate. And that was part of the that was in the context of the phasing in of the new accounting framework that was implemented by government in the financial management forms. In 2008 and 2009 and 2010 we had qualifications which were largely in the two major areas of removable tangible assets and regular expenditure within those years. Situation deteriorated further in 2011 where this increased to a further to include these commitments, contingent liabilities and public private partnerships. So we have something like 8 reasons for a disclaimer. 5 reasons for a disclaimer. Then 2011-12 the situation was deteriorated further. Even though the issue of the public-private partnership was then addressed, and was no longer a problem, this thing now added to about 8 areas. In the current year, under review, as part of the interventions and outcomes of the process, the situation has improved slightly to a qualification, and I think qualitatively and quantitatively, the reasons and areas of concern that have resulted in that outcome have been reduced to only 3 areas, and the remains that one area of dealing with immovable tangible capital assets, regular expenditure, quotation useful expenditure. And if you recall, in the previous watch, they relate to the extent that either these things were not completed, they could be verified, etc., etc., in the current year. Those areas have remained. I think some of them have remained largely due to technical issues. Major areas in the immovable tangible capital assets, as we see reflected in the report, some of the assessments have now been dealt with acoustically. We need to deal with the balance of those assessments in order to ensure that the matters are registered and attended to the first session of the potential application of the generally accepted audit standards that they are applying in dealing with these matters. We want to indicate that there are still areas of risk that we address and manage on a continuous basis. They relate to the issues that remain unresolved. Inadequate income with the asset register, with regard to all the other assessments that remain unresolved. I think critical in the operations is getting to finally deal with the issue of an enabling IT platform because the risk associated with that issue is very high. We also, the risk that we have to manage relates to the issue of inadequate management financial misconduct processes, especially that is being addressed in the years subsequent to the year that we are reviewing in this presentation. So we still remain with the risk of inability to retain and attract the required skilled personnel, inappropriate PMT structure, the risk associated with inadequate leadership and coordination activities that relate to the EPWP in order to make sure that it meets all of its requirements. It's not a reflection of a completely non-performing performance area, but the risk exists and it relates to sometimes the perceptions about the role of the department in providing that leadership and coordination and the understanding of this coordination responsibility. Construction management area, implementation of the building program construction management remain ours. Now if we go to the actual performance issues, the details of Part A. We start with Program 1, which is the general program that covers administration. I think everybody, we all know that this is a program that is generally applicable to all departments, whose strategic objective is to provide strategic leadership and support services, including for accommodation needs and overall management of the department's business. It is responsible to meet strategic objectives of the Department of Public Works and has links with all four other departmental programs, whether that's where the leadership, the funding of the leadership programs is. Extra programs include internal audit and investigation services, strategic management, monitoring and evaluation, intergovernmental relations, finance and supply chain management, and general corporate services. Summary of achievements in these areas. In the strategic management unit, we have been able to meet the statutory requirements that relate to the planning side, the tabling of the APP to Parliament as required in terms of the law, also the development and management of the risk activities in the department. And that includes training of personnel in areas of risk and risk associated, and I think also strengthening the governance arrangements in the country. The IGR function dealt with the issue of coordinating governance and accountability meetings, but also to address challenges facing the department, which include ensuring that the governance structures of the department meet, discuss, and make progress regarding the issues of governance. MINMEF, which is the intergovernmental structure, MINTOP, which is the structure that manages the department, and EDSCO, and then the engagement with entities on a quarterly basis in the country performance and other areas that need to address that relate to the entities. The internal audit and investigative services, they developed the plan of the audit and risk plan of the audit, which was then approved by the Audit and Risk Management Committee, and then the execution of those audits and investigations, as have been reported, the outcomes of which have been reported in previous discussions in the committee. Finance and SCM, this area dealt all the disclaimer items that needed to be resolved to the extent reflected in the audit outcome. I think the result of the reduction is there as evidence. Consolidated procurement plan that was submitted to National Treasury, which is a major milestone in dealing with the issue of the reforms that have been put in place that were in line with the purchases that was in National Treasury. And quite a lot of SCM training that took place, supply chain management training to the various areas. Corporate services, key areas that were successful was related to vetting and screening of officials and companies that was undertaken. Foundation work that has been prepared in improving the risks that were identified to the extent possible by the end of the year, and certainly further progress beyond the end of the office work, which will probably be able to report in the next reporting cycle, or as part of the quarterly reports that we submit to the committee. And in that way, the IT net was for better coordination and conditions. I think in the last two months, we've made strides in both understanding this and developing a comprehensive approach to dealing with our IT gaps in support of business, as we are reviewing the business models that we have, the business model of the department. And a program two, which is immovable asset management. This program encompasses all of the major core business activities of the department. It's the largest program, and appropriate. 4% of departmental budgets. It provides the management and management of government's move of property portfolio in support of government social, economic, and functional and political objectives. This program also seeks to achieve the first four strategic objectives of the department. Its sub-programs consist of strategic asset investment analysis, project and professional services, inner city regeneration, regional coordination, key accounts management, speech management. Some of the achievements that have been reflected in the report relate to, and they are covered pages 136 and page 54 in the report. The department conducted an extensive reconciliation of the immovable assets in its register against the deed state. Reconciled the defeated viewer and the Department of Human Services on land parcels. I think we at various stages we have accounted for even well beyond the end of the year, beyond the reporting period. I think that investigation assisted in ensuring that it is we were able to provide comfort with regard to the completeness of the assets. And that does not that is notwithstanding the continuous challenges that we relate to the core data. But I think engagements with the Department of Rural Development are seeking to address these issues. The reconciliation exercise was conducted in conjunction with all national provincial custodians and achieved substantial improvement in the completeness, as I indicated, assessing, as evidence in the audit report. The current list of improvements, the extent of the current data in the immovable asset establishment has been linked to the land parcel in order to provide a more realistic view of immovable assets as contained in the register. And this is done under the annual review. 70,000 properties completed the stock information against the planned target of 4,266 properties on GBW's asset register in accordance with the minimum requirements. And this reflects a an overachievement of 31% in this regard. The issue chair here is that as you do the construction of cultural registers, your baseline was always I think in the year that was under you were able to identify that actually the answers that we had thought they were and not going to deal with that and achieve more than we 1,263 land parcels were vested against the planned target of 119.06% achievement, over achievement. 433.06 hectares against the target of 207 approved for a lease in support of the human settlement development program or government. The state land consultation with these officers were completed by 31 March 2013. The immovable asset register in its present state has been, at the time of reporting, we were anticipating the reporting for what we were comfortable, we are reflecting that we are comfortable that it would reflect adequate completeness, and that's been confirmed. We also had created a repository in the IE Works for Green Stimulus Asset Register data. And this at the time was to develop a strategic database platform for IE Works in order to, as we have the asset register identified, place that asset register data on that as we do the actual improvements, operational improvements with the IE Works, which have been undertaken. We are comfortable that this will go live certainly by the beginning of the new year. That means we will be able to migrate clarify the information to a live asset register, which then would be utilized for the rest of the operational requirements like the balance of rates and taxes of the tax, etc., and the issues that we deal with in dealing with our immovable assets, to start part of managing the assets concerns. immediate plans for this asset include formulating a custodial framework, which is critical for dealing with all aspects of managing the assets lifecycle. Capitalization policy, which is one of the issues that resulted in the qualification for the department in the current year, which was a gap as we improve on the assets. And operating model for department and asset management. And then the fair value model for evaluating evaluating the assets and giving a fair valuation of what the asset for the government is under the custodianship of the department. As we said, this will give us the tools to leverage our portfolio for greater economic development. I think at this stage we will begin to have a sense of what assets, as the nature of the holding of the assets, what are the different aspects that might be addressed, and what is the best use of the assets. Which is part of our portfolio, and we'll know what assets therefore would remain idle and why they remain idle, and look at what economic benefits government can derive to those assets as part of its own plans going forward. Under construction projects, there was a planned target of 200 construction projects, and in the year under review, we were able to complete projects, 214 projects, which included projects that would not have been part of the 200 planned for completion in the year, which were added to them. I think there's these include projects directed at maintenance, repairs, renovation, and new facilities. 453 of them are still underway. And it is anticipated that will continue into the new year. And the breakdown of those is that 3 of the 453 fall under the DPW program, and 268 are maintenance programs, and 117 are undertaken and governed by private departments within the decentralized projects. And these projects have an impact on infrastructure network, creation of local opportunities, jobs, and space for that matter. Under the Inner City Regeneration Program, which is a program that will continue to change as we look at enhancing the value that we provide to governments and cities. And it's a supportive role that assists in planning for new government developments using but to the mandate of creating, of providing accommodation for its clients. In the financial area under review, under the Rehabilitation Tshwane program, we have contributed to the development of the master plan for Tshwane, which encapsulates the vision that the capital city has as an African capital city, and demonstrate our government's presence in the inner city creates the catalyst for national regeneration and development. So this is a very old thing. As is usual case, some of these kinds of projects are very slow, sometimes impacted by changes in direction, review of strategies, visions, etc. Existing plans were completed for Shalukor, Kolkura, and Maradostat zone. These plans deliver a combination of safety, cleanliness, efficiency, and urban management contributions to drive the alignment of public search improved infrastructure, including planning of funding that related to this. It's an ongoing engagement. So, throughout the question of a government state in South Africa. The Department of Statistics South Africa was provided with a site development guidelines that enabled them to finalize their public PPP that they have put in place, tender for a new head office at South Africa. I think much more progress has been made to extend that. In the last week, I had to deal with some of the issues, impediments that affect the project, that may affect the project being more shifted by one month in terms of the implementation. But it is at an advanced stage. And the regional coordination, which is on pages 20 to 21, and then 62 and 64. Property management is one of the systems that that is in under this, and that forms the core of the business of the department. In 2012-13 APP, the department was had planned to embark on this audit, which was done. And I think we have reported it to the committee to the end of the both year and progress. With the analysis of the issues that we're dealing with. If members recall, there was a team called Dilema that scoped the problems in the department. This is progress. And that was completed, was used to then to develop terms of reference for the teams that were appointed to then deal with the issue of the issues. As we had indicated, there are statistics regarding that led to the 2,778 leases that we have, 5 leases, of which 1,769 found to require attention in terms of either review, cancellation, or renewal. Currently, all new leases are being correctly processed and the standard recommended. And that is both here. In this area also, 233,035 invoices were paid against a planned target of 3,000 properties. I think for payment within 30 days. This was a result of time shortage of invoices by municipalities. 953 construction projects were inspected against a planned target of 589 construction projects. These construction projects are inspected to ensure compliance with occupational health and safety acts and regulations. Program 3 is the expanded public works program, whose purpose is to ensure the creation of work opportunities and the provision of training. In targeted sub-programs for unskilled, marginalized and unemployed people in South Africa by coordinating the implementation of the expanded public works program. The achievements, in the context of the program's objectives, which were set to as to create 4.5 million work opportunities, equivalent to 2 million full-time equivalents of poor and unemployed people in South Africa, so it contributed to halving the unemployment by 2014 through the delivery of public and community services. These achievements were, overall, the EPWP created 3 million work opportunities, over 2 million work opportunities in phase 2, which represents 8% of the 5-year target of 4.5 million work opportunities. For the financial year 2012-13, the program created over 940 work opportunities, constituting 78% of the target of 1.2 million dollars planned. Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Western Cape, provinces were the major contributors to overperforming against their target set, with Northern Cape almost meeting the target. The other provinces should achieve a target of at least 70%. That disbursement will displace the 100% of the social sector EPWP incentive grant allocated under the DORA to DORA compliance provincial social public bodies. It is done through the DORA, which goes through the provincial treasuries. Provincial departments in this regard have shown the combined spending performance of 91% of the country. Seven provinces spent more than 95% of the allocation in this country. And there's the focus that I have reflected in the brackets. Which is the Gauteng, the Limpopo, Mpumalanga, the Cape District, the Northwest, the West. KZN spent the lowest at 7%, and the District 77%. In this regard, 520, 839 households were serviced and 2,890 NPO organizations were supported and stipends were paid to 11.9 beneficiaries that benefited from this program with the related economic benefits to those households. Program 4, Property and Construction Industry Policy Regulation. This program's purpose is to regulate and promote growth and transformation in the construction and property industries and promote uniformity and best practices in construction and new asset management in the public sector. Key activities and developments under this in the expropriation bill, which is aimed at ensuring that there is consistency with the constitution and uniformity in the expropriation of property by all over the state. In this regard, the bill was drafted with a memorandum approved by cabinet for publication, subsequent gazetted for comments. At the time, we had anticipated that it would be tabled Parliament during this cycle. Indications are that because the bill was subject to a process of consultation and further engagements inside and outside government and with the public, it is unlikely that that bill will be tabled in the year under review. And in that regard, at least it will be work done by this government, this term of government, to hand it over to the next term for completion of the processes. The interrupted that I got from the DM is that the network process is almost completed. There have been inputs taken into consideration, discussions with regard to that, but it will not be able to reach the requirements in this kind of office. The Abraham South Africa bill, the draft initiative was developed during this year. We submitted it to the relevant bodies, including National Treasury, for consideration. There have been delays in that process in concluding that. But the bill itself has now been finalized subject to any of those discussions that may arise. Unfortunately, at the time, we had also anticipated that it would take to this term of office, and that has not been possible. Bill Environment Professions Policy. Towards the possible amendment of the legislative framework governing the built environment professions, the draft BEP policy has been developed in the under review for consideration. We still anticipate that the policy itself will be finalized within this year. And the related legislative processes will then be processed in the year subsequent to the current year. Construction Industry Development Amendments Regulations 2013, which were meant to ensure improvements of registration requirements for contractors and to better maintain and upgrade their grades with the CITB. The draft resolution was published for public comment on 5/2/2012 and has been subsequently been implemented after the year and a half. Chair, there are some challenges that we thought we need to indicate as part of the constant need to understand the environment in which we operate. And these challenges cover, as we have indicated in the report, internal issues and external issues. Internal is dealing with ensuring that we've got the structures, right structures, right processes, systems, capacity, and capabilities. That would then impact positive performance, and the external ones relate to stakeholder relations. I think to some extent the issue we have to continue to deal with of having an impaired public perception about the product. These challenges include inappropriate management systems which result in irregularities and which are open to fraud and corruption cases, which have already been put to in the public. What are we going to deal with these things? As has been proposed previously, the minister put together an NRM strategy, which was initiated in January 2012, to bring about larger changes to better practice and improve policy. Options. And these include developing appropriate actions to deal with any misdemeanors that are found. I think the results, as you will have seen in the audit report and the fine statement, reflect that there were a number of irregularities related to various areas, including procurement, etc. These have been addressed. Provision of appropriate systems, firstly to identify, record, account for those irregularities, and then to take to put the position for action necessary to either prevent them from happening or to hold those who are involved accountable for them, including both internal and external people or parties. Lack of control in SCM, I think, has been well known. The Department's ability to process handlers perform supply chain, full supply chain management that is appropriate for the business of the department. And then project management of construction and maintenance programs, projects, lease contracts, has been familiar in all that. We initiated the process of to address the supply chain management and finance challenges in the NRE. Post year end policies, a new policy on our supply chain management is now in place. We're also engaging directly and in fact are a pilot to the new supply chain reforms necessary to make our business responsive. Our supply chain management is responsive to the business. And at the time when we reported, we had indicated that they were under review. I have indicated that post year end, all the policies in place were now engaging with the subtreasury to make sure that at the legislative level and at the national level, we are able to deal with the issues around our supply chain management processes. Next challenge is inadequate removal of asset register. Has been reported about a lot. The absence of the compliant immovable asset register significantly contributed to the department's successive negative audit outcomes. Chair. We are rebuilding the immovable asset register, which is a process we are continuing from previous processes, but streamlining giving specific attention to It entails reviewing the current structure and operating model to maintain a database of state properties in conjunction with the provinces and other key stakeholders. The asset register will be integrated with the required billing, asset management, user asset management plans, and the custodian asset management plan. And it will be utilized for better budgeting, so appropriate accounting and reporting in that regard. We are responsible for the planning, acquisition, management, and the disposal of state movable properties vested in the national government, and therefore our register is key to the custodian role that we have to play in relation to this. Chair, we provide in the next slide with the statistics of the work done in the consultation. I think I'm not going to go through that in detail again. Let's say we are dealing with each of the areas now that remain unresolved in order to finalize the completeness of this exercise. It will be the basis of the work that is currently underway of doing in-depth verification of the assets in line with the requirements of reporting requirements for GRABO. An exercise we expect to substantially complete by the end of 2013-14, so that then it may have an impact. The next challenge to risk management. We've identified and secure risk management tool in the year review. We're working with National Group Treasury in dealing with the approaches to the areas of risk management. Post year end, strengthened the structure that deals with risk management within the department. And we have now a structured arrangement. Our audit committee has received the report, looked at it, expressed themselves, and made decisions for improvement in this process, and therefore we are constantly reporting to the audit committee then on matters that relate to risk management and progress there. The capacity constraints of the department relate to structural failure, I think we've indicated that more, and lack of technical and professional skills to deliver on this mandate. This creates a some dilemma we have regarding even the compensation budget, chair, which we are seeking to address in various ways. In response to these issues, we failed to mention the vacancies. We had planned to fill the mentioned vacancies in the technical area. At the time, we had possible. In this regard, 4% of the positions had been advertised for filling in subsequent to the year end. I think we can report progress about that, specifically when we deal with this. So we applied about 44 personnel in various areas in the first 2 quarters. There were some deficiencies with some of the applicants beyond the 44, and that's required a further recruitment drive in order to increase it to the targets that we want to deliver, which is about 88 that we have given funding for. As a bridging strategy to address that, but the 44 that we now did before, that now have in the system subsequently, we then enforced professionals in order to close the vacuum in the interim. In order to address the issue, the value proposition framework of our clients, reconfigure the service delivery branches of the department, and then we have, as I say, built the capacity through using professional firms or individuals that we are able to obtain from various institutions. I think we've got people working across by the Koha Development and other organizations that have assisted us in dealing with this thing in order to have a solution now as we deliver to our clients, but we'll continue that finishing that recruitment time in order to ensure that we have all of those professionals within the department. We'll continue to look at further funds and funding allowing thank you. I think that is the performance part A of the report. May I then ask that the CFO can teach us to part B, or will the commission may indicate how it is proceeding?
Thank you very much, thank you for the presentation. Mr. Mahoro, I'm giving you 15 minutes to make a presentation. And we'll break at 11 for 10 minutes break, and thereafter we'll come and engage with the president. First, doctor, I think you'll make it. But I'm a bit, and I'm also flexible. Okay, over to you then.
Honorable Chair, members, thanks for the opportunity. I will try my level best to try and achieve the time of 30 minutes so that we can conclude and give you adequate time for you to engage and break on the possibility of providing. I thought it was best to just give a quick background with respect to the financial statements that we want to share with yourselves. You are aware that we're dealing with two entities. One is the Department of Money and Books and Funds, and the other one is our Agency of Property Management, which is the Property Management Training Entity. These two entities utilize two sets of two bases of accounting and preparing the annual on financial statements, we may vote according to the National Treasury's guidelines, whereas the PMTE is with respect to the accounting standards board's requirement in terms of the generally recognized accounting practice, which is CRAM. The financial statements that we vote in the report from page 131 and the PMTE on, from page 76 onwards. These are two distinct phases of accounting. If you just take the main vote, it's on a modified cash basis, which means we only recognize transactions as and when cash is received or paid. So you recognize income by virtue of the fact that you receive cash, and you recognize the expense by virtue of the fact that you actually receive you've made a payment. I think the important thing in terms of distinction is the issue around the appropriation statement that are the motor funds basis on that cash requires, and I think the more daring one being the fact that you do not account for things on the balance sheet, but you actually have the extensive disclosure notes to your annual financial statements, which disclosure notes are fairly covered in the annual report. However, with the PMTE, you actually do actually present the financial statements on the basis of an accrual basis, where you recognize income and expenditure, whether you pay cash or not. It is just the issue of occurrence, whether the transaction did occur or not. And what you then have is to have most of your items reflected in your balance sheet based on what is true. The solution as well, in terms of this, a basis of accounting, is that you will then need to have a statement of comparison of your budget and actual, which you've incorporated in here, and proper set of financials in terms of a balance sheet and cash flow statement. I'm not going to get into the detail of the accrual basis of accounting versus the cash, but I just wanted to highlight the point for purposes of the better comprehension by the members that the GRAP accounting accrual basis, the account for transactions, I did say when they could, not when the cash is paid, so there's not issue of cash flow, the cash has been flown. The transactions and events are recorded in the period to which they relate or they occurred. An accrual account relates to balance sheet items, which is your financial statement of financial position. You'd have much more of an extensive disclosure on your receivables, your payables, which is liabilities, your impairment of your liabilities, which is a much more technical accounting issue of how do you reduce the extent of what you believe you will recover based on the time value of money in terms of your debtors and your creditors. You'll then recognize prepayments on your balance sheet, which is payments that you've made in advance. You'll also make advances that you've received, which is payments that you've received before you actually provide the service. If you close them, tax basis, you then recognize the advance received as actually income, whereas for the accrual, it's not, you reflect that as liability within your balance sheet. Then you'll accrue for all the expenses that you've incurred in the period, but you have not paid. You reflect those expenses as expenditure, but the corresponding liability will actually be on your balance sheet. Then you'll also have capital commitments of what you've committed in terms of capital projects, although you have not executed them, but it's a commitment that you've then created a liability and obligation to carry out those things. And then you'll also have your provisions, which is what you then estimate what your liabilities are created when the occurrence of liabilities are certain, but exact amounts cannot be determined with a clear level of certainty and when that will crystallize. So I just thought maybe it's best to give you that kind of background and just touch on the GRAP accounting that in terms of the accounting standard box, the all entities which is then applied to PMT where are mandated to apply the GRAP accounting, the basis of accounting, effective from the 1st of April 2013. We have, however, decided that we will actually do the adoption from the previous financial year. The intention behind this is that we wanted to revise our accounting policies for the current year, which is under review, to avoid the duplication of having to revise the financial statement we didn't apply in the year 2020. It was a strict decision on our part, just to ensure that we enhance the quality of our financial statements for the next year, so that by the fact that we've adopted it earlier, we'll then be subjected to financial statements to the audit and matches that have been raised on which then we can make improved months in the year that the mandatory application of CRAP would then apply. Just to touch on what the DG had given us earlier, in terms of giving us a journey of the department from where we are to where we are now, that we started off 2007 to date. As you can see, the graph, the movement, based on the number of items that resulted in negative audit outcomes, increasing over the period over time, and a bit of a spike in terms of the reduction of those issues in 12-13. That's for the main goal. And in terms of PMTE, you will realize also we have a similar trend that we have in the main goal, where in 11-12 we had almost instead of like 13 items that were basis of disclaimer. In 12-13, however, we have 5 items that are basis of disclaimer, and in actual fact, only 1 item was basis of disclaimer. The rest of the other 4 would not have been a disclaimer if you resolved 1 item, which is black and big there, which is the issue of the leases. And if you will recall it, the issue of the leases is that it's got a provincial impact on our financial statements in the sense that it will affect our income, it will affect our expenditure, it will affect our abilities, it will affect our assets. And as such, it's got pervasive effect. It renders our financial statements, fairly negative. We do not resolve this matter. But having resolved the business issue with active discipline with a better outcome, similar to the one we have in the main book. So that's really what we're to share with yourself. That if we can deal and focus our attentions on the mission matter, a matter that we all are aware is in the public domain, we will then turn the corner. And in essence, what we can tell you is that we are indeed turning the corner as a department because we've identified the backgrounds where the problem areas are and we are dealing with those quite extensively. Just in terms of the treasury requirements, I think we know, we are aware what the treasury requires in terms of the annual report. I'm not going to take you through all that. And what in actual fact were the performance information requirements for the finance specifically. I'm not going to go through that, but he's already done with that as well. Just getting on to the main vote, main vote finance statements, I will then quickly take us through the main appropriation statement, the statement we've actually dealt with in our various other engagements with yourselves in terms of performance and how we've done with that. The summary of the expenditure per program, in terms of program 1, which is administration, program 2, immovable assets management, expanded public works, property and construction, as well as auxiliary and associate services. All of this is contained in the annual report. However, in terms of the final appropriation, we have 7.9 billion rands. In terms of the final appropriation, we have spent some of the quarter about 7.2 billion rands, which means we're sitting at about 0.7 million billion rands of an expenditure for that. And that spreads throughout all the different programs, significant of which would be under administration, would be under immovable assets. Administration would be more under current payments, which is a result of the slow process at which we rolled out our turnaround projects, where we had an excessive amount of 122 million rand that we did not spend. We also have under immovable asset management, some of the order of 120 million rand that we did not spend in terms of the transfers of subsidies, which were the conditional grants to our provinces for property rates and payment of property rates and taxes. In addition to that, in the program, we will spend somewhere in the order of 300 million rand and now our payment for capital assets, which are infrastructure projects that we didn't spend. The bulk of the other programs were not, I just want to highlight, the main programs are under expenditure where it occurred. A similar result would then be presented in a different form, which is in the form of the economic classifications, where we not spend money and how we did in terms of that. Again, total appropriation or final appropriation, 7.9 billion, 7.2 billion and spend, which is again 0.7 billion rent spend. And I think again I can just elaborate quickly, it's all under goods and services, about 256 million rent. Again, as a combination of a number of factors, being the interventions that we wanted to engage, being the issues around the hospitals, so this is just our infrastructure project in terms of the spend that we can do. The following notes literally explain exactly this in a little more detail, and I will just take you that the members have gone through a fair amount of those, that level of detail of the notes to that. And we've done the programs per sub-program to indicate where the unexpenditure is. In terms of program 1, total final appropriation was about $1 million. We spent about 856, and as well, so there is about 148 that we didn't spend. I think we will get through that and demonstrate to all presented a similar for program 1, but on the basis of economic classification, which comes to the same thing. We then follow that with a narrative to explain the reasons why the expenditure was 85% against the allocation of $1 billion. And the expenditure in regards to underspending on goods and services, around turnaround, and lastly on the issues around the office accommodation. The department, just to explain this further, that we received additional funding through the adjustment estimates, which is very late in the year, under the goods and services for the turnaround projects, and as a result, the delays of the funding and the delays of the projects itself, then we could not spend. However, in this current year, we are going to see a significant spike in our spending because all programs, all projects and interventions were already secured, the contracts are awarded for the kind of interventions that we needed, so the spending will be quite significant in this year in those areas. Moving on to program 2, a similar done again per sub-program indicating where they spent and the expenditure happened. We have done a similar exercise in terms of the sub-programs and in terms of the economic classifications. Maybe just to touch on the issue on the economic classifications, that we had a total allocation of $5 billion. We spent about 4.5, which is about $500 million rand we didn't spend, and just an indication of where the spend was under goods and services, about $6 million rand that we didn't spend. Purely because of the removal assets physical verification program having to be postponed into the following year, that we didn't spend that money, but we will obviously, in terms of the commitment, we had committed to the previous year, we will spend money. Under transfers, we see an amount of 120 million rand that's spent under the various column, and that was the conditional grants to the for payments of property-related taxes, which was not utilized by the end. Registered A saving, and that money has then subsequent to the year been reallocated to other provinces where the municipalities were struggling and didn't have enough money as provinces to settle those debts. And similar under variance, there's about the amount of 286 million that was not spent, and that's where well under our infrastructure projects in terms of the slow execution of the projects there, and those are much that the next slide will indicate the narrative that I'm talking about. I've already explained in terms of the slide, and I'll also try, in the interest of time, try and move and not guarantee. Program 3, we've done a similar exercise to indicate where the actual underspending, or where the natural equilibrium, where our spend was. We had a final appropriation of 1.7 billion. We actually did spend 1.7. for the various of 1.5 million, which is just the transfers that needed to be done subsequent, which were not done before the year end, but the subsequent end. The slide that follows does exactly the same, just to explain the narrative of the program 4, one of our smallest program in the department, in terms of the part of the spend there. It was likely total appropriation of 37 million, we spent 26, we had a variance of 10, and that largely because of the vacancies that exist in there that we did not put on time in the policy unit, as well as the related costs to this now. Under program 5, we because of the invoices that we received in subsequent year end just from the narrative, the 53 expenditure, in terms of these 7 total appropriation of budget, the expenditure variance of 2% in Provision 5 based on the spending on goods and services, or the expenditure of state functions and transport, you know that services are state functions, and I'm spending of 2.4 million on goods and services relating to state function, delay in receiving the invoices from state providers for year end. And the understanding in terms of the subsidy to saving the last from Commonwealth, World Trade Commission and the sector of education training authority that we transfer that we mentioned. On the environment, how we try to cover the issues around underspending and overspending, we had all the environments approved by National Treasury in terms of balancing our budget. And I will just go on to the slide that deals with the actual narrative of that. Program 1 was reduced by 43 million. Next amount was 3 funds as a second program. 25% overspend on compensation of employees. We did report that prior to year end, we made a request to Mr. Treasury to grant us the approval to move the environment of the funds to cover the projected expenditure, over expenditure on our compensation of employees to the extent of only 52 million. Treasury did grant us that approval, and we then went through the exercise of the funds. Our program 2 increased by a net amount of 50 million, amount of the net of the additional allocation of 58 million from program 1 and program 2 for compensation of employees, adjusted from goods and services, 2 million increase in household from goods and services in program 2 and 24, adjusted to program 3. To offset overspending of 260,000 very small amount. And that amount reflects itself again on program 3. However, program 5 increased by 8 million funds just for program 1 and 2 to offset overspending of goods and services for all the functions that happen to the auxiliary services. The adjustment of funds from program 1 and 2 were all approved by National Treasury in terms of the requirements that are set. It's in a nutshell the broad appropriation statement, honorable members, and then I will then quickly touch on the actual different elements of the financial statements of the main mode, talking about the financial performance on the report in terms of page 195 of the annual report. And what does this give us? It gives us a reconciliation of what was appropriated against what we spent and how we actually performed. I think the one thing that we have, because the rest in terms of the appropriation, we have part of the appropriation statement, an additional item that reflects the financial performance is issued around the departmental revenue, which revenue we try to optimize in terms of where it comes from and what is made up of. We've also done that for yourself. Similarly, we've gone and taken the major cost drives and did an analysis of these. And the services, these are all contained on page 208 of the actual annual report, and we tried our level best to try and explain what all of these entail. If you look at communication, that indicates the expenditure on telecom lines, all our offices, our cellular phone lines, and the expenditure has increased by 7% when compared to the previous year. From 39 million to 31. Similarly, with computer services, where we utilize the CTAP sources and external computer service providers to assist us, their expenditure has decreased by 32% from an amount of 48 in the previous year to 36 million in the current year. Consultants and contractors and agencies, their amount has decreased by 6% from an amount of 285 million to 268. And we have a deeper breakdown of what actually entails or contains in that spend, the bulk of which we are to run interventions, your special investigations unit, your ILO intervention in terms of assistance with the EWP program, and a small amount with respect to IT consulting. And then we've got our own cost expenditure, which is increased by 50%. That's what we pay to the AG for we have our inventory that the system is like 10%, from 35 million to 14 million, and then the purchase of our stationaries, our material supplies, other consumables, fuel, oil and gas, and clothing and other things, still around 14. We've just tried several, in addition to that, we also have, in terms of the operating leases, what expenditures we have, which has increased by 36%, and all about our private institutions, we pay for our supplement institutions, our state-owned leases, which we pay to PMTE. In addition to that, we lease our servers, as well as the fleet, fleet of cars that we use from the transversal contract of the Department of Transport, which is that we spend money on. Again, then, there's been a reduction in the expenditure when compared year on year. Property payments, so the payments we make for our services, in addition to 5% management fee that's paid to PMTE. Again, the expenditure has risen there by 2.5% from 1999 to 2007, and the detail of the expenditure is itemized in there. Then travel and subsistence, as you can see that we've also reduced our country by 27%. If you compare year on year, we've moved from 110 million rand expenditure in 2011-12, we're now sitting with about 86 million rand in 2013. And then we incorporate our local travel that we have, the foreign travel that was taken, the fleet, which is the digital cars that we use, and travel agencies that we pay for arranging our travel arrangements. Other expenditure, just a little unpacking of that, because your leadership of 1.7 million, your professional bodies, which are your contributions for your professional bodies leadership, and other, which is made up of a number of different small bodies, about 3.6 million. Again, the expenditure there has also reduced by 23% from 13 million in the previous year to 10.8 million in the current year. Quickly on the financial position, which you find on page 196 of the annual report numbers, and that itself will indicate, you know, this is around where our unauthorized expenditure, our cash and cash equivalents, our receivables, what water funds are we going to surrender, and what payables we have in terms of the disclosures that we put on there. Unauthorized expenditure has risen from 83 million to 122 to a balance of 149. As you know, unauthorized expenditure we have to carry throughout the period until it has been approved by the financial process. So that's what we said we were opening by 83 million in the previous year. We've added 166 million rands to that. 166 million rands relates to the construction of schools and provision of school furniture to education at the Eastern Cape Province. It is deemed that it was unauthorized expenditure by virtue of equaling outside of the mandate of the department. However, in terms of school itself, those buildings are there, and it's just a classification issue with respect to mandate. That's the addition that comes in that. I think on the issue around the cash and cash equivalent, we reduced our cash and cash equivalent by 88% from 825 to 49. The reduction was a result in payable from we paid our creditors that we had, which was sitting at 287, we reduced that significantly to 61 or 2 million. And then you can see the note on page 10 of the note 10 on page 200 of the annual report. We've increased our receivables by 43% from 145 to 25, and the department income owed balances to about 7 million rands from the marine MLR, 3.6 million, CITRA, and 1.3 million. These debts have been outstanding for a considerable number of years, half over nine, all received in the subsequent year. Hence, you see a higher amount of 58 million. But immediately after year end, those amounts were collected. The increase of cost by 150 million rand that was recoverable from the KZN province, which was the unspent grant to the KZN, which we had to recover from them, and hence an increase in our receivables by that amount. The remaining balance consists of about 30 million rand, which is, as you will know, just been referred to as because that is just stuck to that, and balances of 5 million rand from PMTE with respect to the water treatment project that they're running, and various small debtors which are contained in our bank system, which is kind of stuff and the whole lot, which is not, yeah, so that's the position of the cash flow. The issue is, in terms of the water funds to be surrendered, in excess of 853, as per the analysis of appropriation, rollover requested of 6 million rand as was registered for these costs. We actually had committed the funds to the tune of about 26 and requested a rollover from Treasury with respect to these. We have since done a further buyment of our baseline to cover the requirements from the commitments that we had in the prior years in the current year that we're going to spend. The payables, majority of payables were clear. The major remaining amounts are process related to the case probably works on low cost bridges in partnership with defense, 10 million, and the National Skills Fund from Higher Education in partnership with the PWP of 46.8 million. And that's all contained in Note 13 or 214 of the annual report. The regular expenditure, I think we have since done a detailed account of this, and in terms of the main vote, the balance of the regular expenses is about 1 billion, and in the Mokwan side, in terms of KTE, 2.6, it's about 3.6 million rand of the regular expenditure, and I think we sent to the committee the details of the sites to where the spike of this came from, which are also it's contained in the notes 24 and note 22 in the annual reports of the various statements of both PMT and the main book. Fruitless expenditure, I think we have indicated there on that we had a balance of two we got forwards. We've combined this for the PMGP and the bank exam. We have done a combination of the analysis of this for both the main board and PMGE, and the balance of this debt is about 28 million rand. And I think we have a detailed, we also shared with the committee the details of where all this come from and how we were dealing with that. That these are the main board. I will then quickly run through or gallop through the PMGE's financial statements and share them with the committee. Again, as we just a quick recap, this on a graph basis, I'm not going to get through that in detail because I've already done that. And how does this happen? As you know, we're still rolling out our company billing system, which will then allow us to automate our processes in terms of our presentation of the personal financial statements. Currently, the sources tools that we are utilizing are on the left, which is the WCS, the PMIS, and IEWorks, which then interface up to theirs, give us a cash-based time balance, out of which we need to then convert to an accruals of financial statements, and that itself is a member process. I just want to share with the members how we get to put together our set of financial statements for PMT. In terms of the conversion from a cash basis to an accrual basis. The elements of our financial statements for MTE, I think just wanted to highlight the statement of financial position, performance, your changes in net assets, a cash flow statement, and a statement of comparison of budget and actual amounts. And then you have your normal accounting policies and your notes that will then follow. The distinction between a GAAP and a GRAP accounting basis are considered there, that we then have moved from GAAP to GRAP, and as I did say, what does GRAP require, what does GAAP require, and a comparison of that, so that some members can have a feel of where things are going. I've indicated on this slide that we the adoption of the draft and the basis why we have chosen to agree. What is the main critical thing that gets introduced by virtue of us now adopting a draft based on accounting? It's largely around the issue of exchange and non-exchange transactions. Again, this is typically a very technical accounting issue, which I'm not going to bore you too much with. But however, the exchange transactions are transactions that PMT receives value or assets or services or goods and gives approximate equal value in the form of goods, services, assets to the other party in exchange, which is a purchase or sale of goods and services, basically. In terms of accounting technical jargon, those are then termed exchange transactions. Non-exchange transactions will be transactions where PMT receives assets or sources of goods or value without giving goods or sources or assets value in exchange for those sources that they receive. An example would be your taxes, your fines, your grants, your donations. We're not getting anything in return. We actually get those very last. And that includes even sources in kind that you are not actually paying anything for what you are receiving. Those will be termed your non-exchange transactions. And as a result of the introduction of GRAP, the issue that now really became quite very prominent in terms of the accounting was the recognition of revenue from our construction activities in PMT. And hence, we find that as one thing that we have to start to recognize, which is a deviation from what we used to do in the past, even because we are not adopting GRAP, now we are adopting GRAP. Shoulders fully. On the expenditure side, which is on the other side of the once you have your construction revenue, you then have the flip side, which is your brand maintenance, which is your what you pay out in terms of what you're going to do to next this up this revenue. And those are the glaring things that result in the changes from a GAAP to a GRAP. And why we want to recognize construction revenue and the expenditure on the other side is that PMT incurs expenditure to upgrade buildings. Under the custodianship of DPW, which is the main role of the department. And then as the assets are not recognized in the PMT, so we don't have an asset register in PMT for all these assets that we are paying. The assets are sitting in the books of the main hood. PMT is seen as a constructing or a contractor on behalf of DPW and other tribes. And as a contractor, then we must cover this expenditure that we incur and hence the recovery of the expenditure in equal to your construction revenue that you are recognizing. I just wanted to give that kind of background so that we at least have a sense or a comprehension of why, despite why all these numbers, large numbers that you are now starting to report us. This will, however, change as soon as we now do the transfer of the asset register from the main board, from the department to the agency, so that we can then utilize the asset register for the agency to perform the task that is supposed to perform under the department. The statement of financial position, it will indicate that those are with our current assets. We can reflect that total assets of the department of PMT are sitting at 3.2 million total current assets. And non-current assets are, again, your assets as a result of your technical accounting issues of having to capitalize your final business and others. We have a total assets of about 3.3 million rands under PMT compared to, whilst as we restated, the 2012 financial statements, we had total assets of about 3.8 million the previous year, which is an increase of about 17% in terms of the assets. Liabilities on the other side, we said to our total liabilities of about, if you look at the figure at the bottom for the net liabilities, over 4.2 billion rands in the current year against 3.9 in the previous year, which then gives us a net liability situation of about 1 billion rands in the current year, which is 968 million rands in the previous year. So all we have is that that's our assets are exceeded our liabilities in PMT to the tune of about 1 billion rands in terms of a financial position. Then in terms of financial performance, we recognize the revenue from exchange transactions, which indicate construction revenue, the business, all the revenues that we are actually recognizing, of about 9 billion rands in the current year, compared to 9.4 in the previous year, slight increase of about 3.6 billion generation of revenue from exchange transactions, this given case of the publication charges that we charge to the levy, about 3 private business, 3 billion, state bond, about 3 to 4 billion, management fees on municipal services that we are charging under PMTE for payment of all services that we are doing for land, 146 million, construction contracts revenue, 2.4 billion, finance income, 4 million, and recovery of overpayments, give us a total revenue of about 9 billion that we are recognizing in PMT. A further revenue from non-exchange transactions now, this is the augmentation, this is the augmentation that the allocation that we receive from Treasury for PMT to operationalize it over 376 million, and all the other small amounts that are allocated to where we the operating expenditure, I think we've also given you a detail of that, where those expenditures come. As you can recall, we've indicated operating income on these private leases to the tune of about 3 billion. The full side of the operating leases expenditure about 3.3 billion. Similarly, property maintenance against the income that we collect. On our state owned, there's 3 million, which is of documentary, that's what we spend. Construction revenue that is recognized on one side, the construction expenditure on the other side is also, you can see reflecting on that. Similarly, our rates and taxes that we also are paying, cleaning and gardening, and all the other expenses that we have, giving us a total operating expenditure, which talks to the operating expenditure on the financial performance that we indicate of 9.5. That was just the breakdown of the operating expenses. We've done a bit of research in terms of our current ratio, we're not going to get into those, but I think the financial situation of the PMTE is reflective in the ratios that we have here to show whether our current assets, what's the ratio of our current assets to our current liabilities. So we have 0.8 assets against 1 liabilities, and the debt ratios and all these ratios that we can see with this asset. Talk about. The next stage, we moved better days before we did the terms from 104 days. That stage has been expanded to 133 days, which is a reflection of our collection as well, that we keep up our collection. But that's the case with every year, and that our collection slows down. Then the base of the same that the thing you put up was the real expenditure. Next up, the real expenditure with respect to PMT is the exercise that we have to go back in terms of the requirements that the put up, or that we need to go back to the years prior to the year 2009 to go through all the transactions and identify the real expenditure. And because we have not completed that exercise, the finding was raised. And then computers and waste schools, a similar thing as well. We've done an analysis of the furniture of the 254 that we spoke about from slide 89, which is there. And then receivables and revenue from exchange transactions that comes back to our business team. We've just given an indication of the detail of that. I think we've interacted with the AG to be quite okay with the details of why all those issues were raised. It was just a recap from our side. And then impact of our leases on the audit report, and I did indicate that the impact on our expenditure, the impact on our revenue, the impact on our payables, on our commitments, on our prepayments, and on our receivables. So the core of our issue as PMTE is to deal with the leases. Once we can deal with the leases, PMTE will have turned the corner that we all aspire. Just a quick recap on the status of our own accounting. We've gone out to tender. We will then be starting to automate our systems effective from 1st of April 2013. We will be running up our own accounting system properly and doing things on an automated basis. The process for the operationalization of PMT is fully underway, and we believe that come 1st of April, we will be able to fully run came up in the 100 issues. Our various university institutes are in place, correct our from areas, we adopted GRAP. So GRAP for us in this year, when the mandatory requirement is put up, will not be a shock. We already have the basis of doing that. We develop our policies, and yes, we are about to complete the exercise of having the academy members in place. I think that's about it, and it's sad. I hope I'll start my 30 minutes timeline there on. Thanks, my listening dried up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, SCFO. I will remember this debate for 10 minutes and break slightly at, let's say, 25 past. 25 past. 10 minutes. Thank you very much. Break for 10 minutes. Okay.
Thank you.
disciplinary reaction. What does it mean? Out of how many? And what was the exact outcome of this disciplinary reaction? Then I want to talk of the property management trading entity. While the department as such, as it seems, turned the corner. You had the same last year, and this year you had qualified reports. So you've turned the corner, you're now pointing in the right direction. That's encouraging. However, the property management trading entity is still a huge problem, and they've got another, once again, another disclaimer. And they are not making any progress there. And that's one area where there seems to be no consequences for people. They simply get away literally with murder. What are you doing about the property trade management to turn that around? Just be with me, Madam Chair, I'll make the notes here. Yeah, that was unauthorized expenditure, irregular expenditure, fruitless, wasteful expenditure, all of that in the property trade management. But the Auditor General couldn't find adequate information to track all these figures. Expenses incurred without proper needs analysis that store the property trade entity. So that's a huge problem. And so Madam Chair, there are two things. It's the corruption with people, a financial misconduct where people are seemingly get away with it, and then the vacancies in critical positions. If we don't address these two, then you won't have the people, the right kind of people, to actually effect the turnaround successfully. And just the last question, state functions, page 191. What exactly does state functions include, and why was there much, you increased the initial appropriation, what it was budgeted for, has been increased from, it was 50 million, the adjusted appropriation, and the actual expenditure was 6 something million. It's more than double. Why was this huge increase in the state functions? At the same time, in the CLAS, I see that there was actually a decrease, less than half was actually spent on CETAs. And the CETAs are predictable. You know exactly how many CETAs that you deal with, and you know exactly what the percentage each that you have to pay out to them. Why was this an underspending with the CETAs, but on state functions was actually more than double that what you budgeted for. Mr. Manager, really the last question, on the prestige portfolio. Has the security upgrades and the council been completed? Is that the project being handed over? And where do you refer to in the report? I tried to find it, but I couldn't, but maybe I just overlooked it. You could just point me in the right direction. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you, Honourable Chair. One wish to really congratulate the department for the improvement that they have made. It shows that this general strategy is really working. And also the portfolio committee understands that the minister indicated that it's not an event, it will take like 7 years dealing with this implementing this general strategy. However, Chair, I want to check here around the issue. The president made a call for all the CEOs of government, including the department, to reduce the usage of consultants. And as a portfolio committee also, we have been talking to that, to say that the issue of consultants needs to be reduced. One wants to know what is an amount that is spent by the department in the consultants, and which area are they using the consultants, so that we can understand, because really we can't continue using consultants and see whether there is a difference that has made a cost if there is a possible cost. Also, on the issue of irregular expenditure, why internal audit committee is not picking up these discrepancies on charge? Is the department getting the normal money in services for internal audit? Or does the internal audit have the capacity to really assist the department? I'm saying that because in the regular expenditure and internal and wasteful expenditure, you can see that they are tracking something for 2005-2006, the machine that was bought by the department for 45 million. meeting. And we only now, we claim now, in 2020, very particular problem, you know. Has the internal audit really try and assist the department to pick up the issue so that they are improved, and also whether they are getting the reprimand. Honorable Chair, now that we appreciate as a committee that in the regular expenditure you have just pointed to the reason for that increase. You know, because we know what caused the regular expenditure and so on. But now that we have identified them, those problems, do you have risk management policy? I saw in the green presentation you were talking about risk structures, but you really have the risk management policy that will assist you to check any something that is coming so that you prevent this regular or regular expenditure on time. Or preventative strategy for to prevent future occurrence on this. Also, Chair, if I can also, why is it or not? The private business on page, I think it's 224, leases private. On private, it is called private leases building. Said it's occupied by other departments, which is free. It's free in a sense that the treasurer is paying direct to the department. Since we are having a problem of the client department failing to pay to the department, why do we not use the same system? Because in page 24 you said that those departments are using those buildings free. You hire those private buildings, lease it as a department, but you give them free because the treasurer is paying direct to the department. If I noted well when I was reading. Does it mean that treasurer is paying rent budget to national departments for public works? If yes, why not all the departments? Are just all the money that is supposed to go to the departments directly to the department of public works? On the vacancies also, I think the colleague has covered the issue of vacancies, but what we appreciate as a portfolio is that we are indicating that there is a progress, there are positions that are being filled. What one would want to check is because also in your report you indicated that you want to separate the department and the PNPE. And you indicated also in the report to say that next year it will be the time that maybe you finalize all the things pertaining to this particular matter of the PNPE. So maybe you can share with us to say that because also there is an indication of an overdraft in the PNPE, you know, that is there to say what is your plan to try to deal with the issue of overdraft that is continuously occurring in the PNPE. Maybe it will assist. Also, I was looking at the I heard my colleague saying that the issue of Uganda, if she is not free. Also, I saw it, I think one take on this. It is indicated. But our understanding is that my question would be based on two things. When do you know when is the party protector is going to finalize the report? Because we understand that the minister acted strictly when he heard about this organization that is taking place at Uganda, and he appointed a team that identified discrepancies and then recommended that these allegations that have been found by the team must be closed. And then in the process, the DA also, the president, the public protector, to deal with it. You know, we want to know because according to us, really, the way the minister ended, it was the right direction, but also we appreciate the protector is dealing with it. So that all of us, because this government has got a priority to fight the corruption. It is this government. That's why all of us we are talking about corruption, because we have been invited by this government. And for us to really deal with those corruption, clearly, I think the process is going to be faster. I know that it's not within you now, because it was taken away from you. Maybe if you can share with us where it is, what do you understand, whether there is a thought that it is going to be taken through by the public profession. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman. Firstly, I also want to congratulate the minister and his team for the success they achieved in some cases, like the irregular contributions that will increase the number of properties that achieve of the achievement. Secondly, Chairman, my question is on page 35. with the comment that the deviation, the update of bringing process in effect until the higher capacity comes available. When is that? Are we going to wait long? I know that it is difficult to find the right place for everything, but also we need to set for a time frame. To say at least by this time, we will be trying to get these people in the end. So that our capacity can be reached so much. In most of the programs, the targets were not met. Why? Supply chain management targets not achieved in most of the programs. In the internal audit, also the target development were not met. Is there a monitoring system that you are using? At least you have sort of missed something, most of the targets, not a good business. The colleagues talk about the capacity that we have. The other question that I wanted to ask is all about the strength, service level agreements that are not yet signed. What are we doing? So we have to do the process of finding the services that we need to have in time. The agreement has the department to set a succession plan, particularly the transfer of skills prior to people that are retiring. As this is now, most of the people of the department are retiring. What are we doing? Or is that waiting until they retire? And then there are certain officials to take on. We didn't mean that we are having time. But also lastly, to say that I think my colleague, Honorable Mandela, is having on the current standard issue. Africans are the most expired in Africa. They sure is a lot. And this is a serious risk match. They need to be able to map it. They sure is a lot. They have to wait for the report. That's all that we are asking, we're waiting for the report, and I'm going to send a recovery on Makana or on Kash. That's the company is a ticket. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, honourable members. I want to call all members who spoke in time. Page 176 of the report by the Auditor General. That's 6.3, and I want to read it. An investigation is being conducted by the public procurator to probe the allegation of the misappropriation of public funds by the Department of Public Works in respect of the installation and implementation of security measures at the prison's private residence at Nkana. The investigation was still ongoing at the reporting date and did not conduct any additional investigation. So I don't know why this issue brought to this meeting was investigations are still going on. Let us be in order and let us not be impatient on the Nkanda issue. We'll deal with it if you want us to deal with it. Not now. Let's allow Public Protector to complete her investigation. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
Chairperson.
Chair, let me join my colleagues by appreciating the report. When listening to the report of the department, you can see that there is progress.
and because we've got a target of a clean audit report by 2014. So if you can put more effort and try to, you know, to tighten the screws as identified by the AG on some of the findings, I think you'll be able to reach that target. I also want to commend you on the improvement that has been done at EPWP. You know, EPWP has got two principles, one of stock creation, the second one of stock transfer. I think you have achieved the target on job creation, you have exceeded the target on job creation. But you know, when we're doing oversight, there was that concern of the training, that the training part, they're not doing well on the training. Of which, if there's no training on the EPWP, it means that EPWP is partially implemented. Because we should be training and also job training, because we know that EPWP jobs are temporary jobs. Then the training will be able to assist the beneficiaries to be able to seek, you know, employment or to be self-employed using the skills that they have acquired during that process. Then the other one, a turnaround strategy. I think we can see that the positive results with regard to the implementation of the turnaround strategy. But you know, if there are no proper systems in place as identified by the Auditor General, if we are failing to fill the critical vacant post, at the end of the day, you know, the turnaround strategy will be a dream, not a reality. You know, I was worried when I was looking at the report indicating that there was underfunding on the filling of vacancies. We know the frustrations that you are facing, you know, lack of skills and whatever, but you need to make sure really that there are skilled people who are expert. You know that the Department of Public Works is a technical department. So if, you know, there's underfunding, you know, you delay in filling the vacant position, because most of the departments, they feel the vacancies during the last quarter, towards the end of the financial year. So there will be no positive impact. We regard that as fiscal dumping. Because if you want to, you know, you spend more towards the end of the financial year because you want the Auditor General not to realize that they were underspending. But we need to do our things on time. But if the money allocated, the failure of the department to spend money, you know, at the end of the day, you're talking of the shortage of skills, money is there, money not being used, then that's a matter for concern. I realized something about border fencing, that there was underspending also in the border fencing. I think border fencing is a critical matter because, you know, if there's no proper fencing in our borders, there will be this unnecessary illegal movement. For instance, when you go to areas around Bisini, in our area around the Lubombo border, where just Mozambicans are crossing at any time, anyhow. But if there's money allocated for border fencing, that money is not used, then I think we need to take that very seriously. It's a matter for concern. What I wanted to check the question, whether are there any negotiations between the department and the national treasurer, especially with regards to this issue of the client department, you know, paying for the client department, they fail to pay back. Is there any intervention by the national treasurer, you know, to rescue you from this situation? Looking at the AG's report, the AG has identified them. Issues like monthly financial reconciliation, weaknesses in the PMPE, risk management issues, internal control, you know, issues in the system. What I want to check, these measures must not repeat themselves. Since the Auditor General has identified these measures, do you put implementation plan, because you must develop an action plan on how to deal with this issues raised by the Auditor General. But it must not be a plan, because the Auditor General yesterday indicated that in most cases you develop a plan, you submit it, you just relax,
toward the end of the financial year to start the implementation of the ban, and it's too late by then. So that is why other issues, they keep on coming each and every financial year, which is a matter for concern. Chair, when looking at I know this indicates the transfer of questions, the number of questions that I'm having. Chair, underspending on infrastructure. I think I also, you know, take that one very seriously, because infrastructure is what the sector that create jobs for the poor people. So if there's understanding on the infrastructure, then, you know, I've got a problem. Then, why a delay in the appointment of the service provider? They mentioned that as a reason under the goods and services, that the understanding was due to the delay in the appointment of the service provider. What was the reason for the delay? Under the machinery and equipment, indicated that under spending was due to the invoices received, but somewhere in the presentation I think you have added late, but here there's no late. You have said it's due to the invoices received but could not be paid before the end of the financial year. I think there is a delay that was included in the presentation that invoices was submitted late. Then the other one, Chair, you know, this savings and whatever, the complicated thing. I always ask, what is the difference between surplus, the understanding, and the savings? You know, under investigation, page 95 of the annual report, you indicated that you appointed three service providers. And to, I think this fall under the, under this Directorate for Fraud Awareness and Investigation. Then again, you are in the process of appointing a panel of service providers for 24 months. Can you clarify that? I know that you don't have maybe the capacity for these investigations that are taking place, but the three service providers, at what cost? And I have been said the environment issues. One day the chairperson highlighted the issue of the leaves. Here you have said that you are conducting inspections in various workplaces. How often are the inspections being conducted to ensure that the workplace is healthy and also healthy, safety, you know, and all the things? Looking at the members of the audit committee, although there are no more members of the audit committee, I have a concern about Mr. Dillon, who didn't attend even the senior meeting of the audit committee. What is the procedure? What steps be taken when the member of the audit committee fails to attend even a senior meeting? Because that has got an impact, you know, on the operation of the audit committee. When looking at the two members who were attending, they didn't even form a quorum, because the quorum I think is 50+1. But if there are only two members of the audit committee attending, others are not taking, you know, the work of the audit committee seriously. What steps have been taken if members of the audit committee are failing to attend the meeting as expected? Okay, the last one, although there are men. On page 98, we commend you for, I think, for the improvement that was made in combining your financial and your annual financial statement. And also, you know, you try to comply most of, especially with regards to quarterly reports and whatever. I think there's good work that you're doing. Why you are just highlighting some of the challenges that you need to deal with. On the issue of the risk management. internal audit. And the last of the last, you know, there are many delays. Some of the things, you know, you're afraid to reach the target because you're taking more time. You've got plans in place, but you delay, you know, in implementing the plan. So that is why, you know, there are many witnesses identified on the report due to the delay in taking the delay of the department in taking steps or in doing some of the plans that has been highlighted. The last one, did all the senior managers sign the procurement contract? And will they accept? How many people received the procurement award? We mentioned some money that has been spent for the claims against the department. What are the costs of the claims?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. First of all, I need to echo my colleagues on congratulating the department on the qualified audit opinion against the scheme. We're really stressed by the scheme for three consecutive years. At least we can see that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. Although the unit to improve on the PMT, because it also got a disclaimer of opinion for the third year in a row. Chairperson, I'll start with on the administration part of the report. About the internal audit and internal controls. Really to see, I think they need to be to be strengthened. Whether they need to do some training, because on the look of things are identified by the AG instead of things issues that should have been identified by the unit itself. Like prevention, and that they need to be proactive than working on what the AG has identified. Also on the issue of the consultant, I think it has been a sore point for all the members of the committee. But we were reported as we were told that because of the SIU, the amount of consultants went up. But what our concern is whether are there any skills transfers in the process so that those who are left behind are able to identify some of the issues that made the department to have the SIU. Also, still on the vacancies, I can see that there are a lot of vacancies, but we were promised that some retired engineers will be called to the department. So we'd like to get a report as to what happened. I mean, there are vacancies that, like quality surveyors, we cannot do without the quality surveyors in that department. So we'd like to get a report as to what happened to those engineers, retired agents that were to assist the department. On the EPWP, our observation is the portfolio committee, when we are doing oversight in the economy, is that there is still a lack of proper monitoring. I mean, you listen to the people when they're giving us the reports, that so many jobs were created, things like, we don't get the gist of the whole thing as to what is that is really happening. Some, in some cases, find people opposing each other, saying something this and the other, saying that to prove that there is no uniformity. And also we had, it's our observation, some of the projects are very good, and as the portfolio committee, we sometimes say, if only we could have these as pilot projects from one province to the next one, but you find it down there in the Northern Cape, and you don't find it anywhere else in the country. And so there is no learning from one province to the other, including the stipend. Some are overpaid, others are underpaid. Again, on the issue of some of the tasks by my colleagues, so I won't repeat what they've already said. Let me stop there. Sufficient. Thank you.
Thank you, and then for me,
thank you, Chairperson. Let me also join the framework on of congratulating the department for the work they are doing, because there's quite an improvement since they started the general strategy January last year. I must say that Ijelayabona Lalatichi performed the good work. It's a beauty now they are editing, but even if the new ones are coming in, continue doing the good work. Okay, what I want to know is on program 2, on page 51, about the number of casualties and all. Here you say that on your comment, because the target is not achieved, that the conveyor service to be sourced by the department. And then can you clarify what will be the job of the conveyor service? And why is it not a conduction for what? My other question is on page 53 also, about the number of state-owned properties rehabilitated. That you are saying that the deviation is from the, because of 4 projects we cancelled. If you can clarify where, why were they cancelled, because they are saying they are to be reactivated again in 2014 financial year. Were they not budgeted, because now you are saying they are cancelled. The other clarity I want to know from you is that I need more clarity on page 58 about the number of memorandum of understanding concluded. That is in a regional issue. You say the deviation is that there is delay in receiving response from municipalities. And your comment is that the department requested that the MOUs be replaced by a PTOP. And power of attorney to unlock delays. What does that mean? Is it another consultant again? If you can clarify that to us. And then coming to the slide on page. Yeah. But it's program 5, where you say that the environment is 28 million, program 5 increased by, 28 million. Is it because of the program doesn't have a star complement as it may function to transfer the funds? Because now you're saying that the environment is 28 million. If you can clarify it as proper, because I noticed that there's no staff complement in that program. My last question, Chairperson, is the department reported to us that 8 persons were on precautionary suspension for a period of 30 days with a total of 4.7 million. If they can clarify to us what is the current status of this case. Thank you, Chairperson, for now.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sir President. I want to ask one question around the immovable other register. Question is, since there is a problem with asset register, now are they able, the public workers, able to combine the register of the, I mean, from the foreign countries like England and other countries who have got properties there? Are the registers for rent, or they are combining with those registers? Number two, about the expropriation bill. Sometimes there have been two of them, but it was put in the court storage. It's coming out now. Does it come out with new, amendment, or it is the same old, and it is the old bill? Thank you.
Madam Chair, a lot has been said, and I don't want to repeat the questions or the clarity's questions of clarity. But to me, I must speak on EPWP because, as we said, 99% of the budget was spent. But if you look at targets for EPWP, then there's actually none of the targets really reached as is in your APP. The current year, 28% of the target on job creation was done for the period 2009 to 2030. Only 6%. 86% of the 5-year target of 4.5 million work opportunities was met. That's on the one hand. But if you go around and go and see EPWP projects, then you find that the skills transfer, which is supposed to be part and parcel of the program, is not properly done. And I want to really ask the department, with the Department of Education, Higher Education and Public Service to really go into creating, training artisans and technicians. Because we see in the report the vacancy rate, the lack of technical capacity, the underspending on infrastructure, all related to our country hasn't got the necessary skills people, and the EPWP doesn't really at this stage as it is done solve the problem. The other problem that I've got with the EPWP and with our oversight, we found that every municipality used a different method of employing people. So that's the other problem I'm sitting with EPWP. And another thing on that is also that you use EPWP in your municipalities where the municipality can have oversight on what the people are doing. But with a non-state sector, that's not really the case. Nine of about 10 times, the people are just sitting around and doing nothing. So it's actually a waste of money. On the program 2, immovable asset management. Now, in the slides, there's a number of land parcels which must still be reconciled and so on, which the process will commence in 2013-14. So, from the rural development and land reforms, 25,435, and there's a lot of numbers. Will it be done within this financial year? Will it be concluded in this financial year? We every time see a minister, and in this case of rural development, the minister will stand up and show a page that asset management has been concluded. And here we see that it's not really concluded. So this is really, and this is the main one with the leases that's causing the qualified audit. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Andreas, is another question? Why don't we wait for the second round of questions for them to respond?
Madam Chair, it's actually a comment that I want to make based on a ruling that you made.
I'm not going to intervene the Honourable Dreyer.
Madam Chair, I've got a right to address you in this committee.
No, let the judge by Honourable Dreyer.
When you made a comment about my asking about the Kandla, it was not the first time. This was a, that is a series of attempts during past meetings over the last year. When I raised this, that I'm uncomfortable with the ANC, you attempt to shut me up. I won't shut up to please the ANC or to, I won't stop asking difficult questions or potentially embarrassing questions. I've got a right to ask any question I want to. We're here representing the voting public and the people who pay our salaries, and I will ask any question I like to ask, as long as it refers to the book, to the annual report of the department, and that is part of the annual report of the department, and that's why we're here. And I just want to make very clear objection to your ruling about it, and that is not the first time it happened, time and again. And that's
I won't interject issues that are under investigation. That's my calling. And the department is going to respond to that because it's under investigation. Did you are not going to intervene the issue that is under investigation. I'm not going to allow that. Can you please respond to the question?
One minute. Quite a lot of questions and comments. I will certainly read them in the last opportunity. I think there were questions, several questions that made the issue of skills juxtaposed against feeling. In my presentation, I thought to deal with one word. As we were about to modify it, and then I tried to provide at least some kind of value. Although we are not reporting subsequently, just give a context of what was then, what has been achieved in the end. Hoping that when we get to our third discussion, some stage with a portfolio committee, it will then provide what has been done since that time. But I think I'm going to respond to some of those in relation to the questions asked. I think, firstly, with regard to the issue of dealing with skills, we did report to the committee based on the work that was done by the department as part of the assessment process in the managed turnaround, that we asked for additional resources from our supervisor to deal with the issue of the skills gaps that exist. Yes, it was recognized that there are areas that are core to that we not there. There are certain types of engineers that we didn't have. I think if you look at those analysis, you'll see that some of those skills were not there. The applications during the 88 professionals that would be employed meant to actually address and those most of the all of the gaps that might be required. In that regard, Chair, 46 professionals have been appointed, but they are appointed subsequently in incremental, in closing. I think maybe let me just refresh the program. We have, if you analyze the budget of the expenditure report of the department, the financial report of the department, you will see that in 2011-12, we incur unauthorized expenses on compensation of employees. That means we had a budget that was exceeded in terms of expenses. That budget was exceeded. When you analyze it, you realize that most of those, while we may have paid more, we were actually stuck in the wrong areas of this budget. Hence the issue that we made about the structural vision. That's the first part. And the accounting officers are obliged to try to minimize the effect of that. I think that is the dilemma I think was facing the accounting officers. quite a lot of them were irrelevant, inadequate, experience. I think we only able to absorb 14. And then we then immediately embarked on the process to follow. In fact, we and the minister were having the consolidation of the process, including the issue of the retired engineers. I think HR will be able to respond to spoke airline presentation of 219 vacancies in the presentation set. Now 40% of that was what the department then identified for both the advertising to the 88 to address those technical and business that are a challenge. And to that regard, we've managed to exist successfully to get 46. However, the remainder, the challenge is that we couldn't compete in the market. Because even in some areas where we could have secured some of the people, the seller that offering was not enough to attract them to the department. That's how we also lost, among the other reasons. But the remainder were then moving towards headhunting because we were faced through the ordinary recruitment process. So we're following a headhunting, which we expect to be concluded by the end of November this year in this regard. But also the young professionals over and above, just parallel to that, the targeting of young professionals and placing them on training programs, that in as well has been successful because we had a collaboration with the construction sector, which has pledged to fund that at the rate of 50 million rand. So in short, what I'm trying to say as a department is that we've adopted various measures to begin to deal with this scarcity. So it's not just the 88, but over and above 88, they are young professionals. And if I can just quickly check my notes, of these young professionals, we have about 55 of them in the pipeline of the training already received. And of that 9, those that have succeeded and are already becoming part of the program of the department are declined. So that is even besides the 88 degree we were speaking about in terms of trying to attract such skills.
Thank you. I will then proceed with the rest of that. The next question, I think, based on the stated notion that corruption is the race of the head needed to have the tenants. And I think the question was asked in relationship to the human resource watch capable 4.4.3 on page 109, which is language, and looks at how many dismissals from misconduct were affected the community employees, and that is what we expect to see here. And then so that's supposed to compare contrast with this particular question. Yes, they used to be that kind of thing. When we looked at this ourselves, we felt that it looks very low, but we still need to recognize that there are processes that we have to undergo to deal with that. Some of the issues we write, which is some of the weaknesses we have mentioned subsequently, in the issue of consequences, the message that is passed throughout the organization by the minister, all the time, effectively saying, we must now hold people responsible and there must be consequences for the IS. So I think some of the weaknesses that we have one, they go through a process. Investigations are done, practices are referred to those people. I think the process of the disciplinary itself has got its own weakness. The chair has imposed the sanction, and when they impose the sanction that is incongruent with the offense, we realize that we need to look at the non-standard or some guidelines around that. And that is what we are working on in order to try and help and make sure that there is good certain minimum sanctions for certain issues. We hope that will increase this. And secondly, to look at how we are appointing them. Make sure that we are appointing people who have the ability to conceptualize the extent to which each of those
cautionary relief based on a number of assessments that predict the extent of the other symptoms. Unfortunately, they have rights within that situation. And those rights include the requirement for you to pay until you prove that they have committed the offense. The second issue is that they may, from time to time, be able to delay your finalization of the cases, because they also exercise their constitutional rights, their labor relations rights. They appeal, they raise issues, they appoint serious people to defend them, which give us. And one of the cases that we at least know where we had a very senior officer, previous actually involved. So one of the precautionary throughout this period, unfortunately, the case was only completed after around April and May. And that's the kind of situation that we always face. Now, Chair, I will not respond to the issues that the digital investigation. I think that has come there. I'm not the board, as well as the honorable members. Safe to say, in order to explain why it is, which is a matter that members have asked, why exactly are we now? If you recall, Chair, the minister instituted an action investigation, a report was produced in that time. Then as that was happening, there were requests, parallel requests for corporate for other courses to be issued, including the public for that time investigations. Now, the minister's report itself has been processed up to Parliament through the structures that have identified. So it's in Parliament. And I think Parliament has expressed themselves in line with their own processes and procedures that relate to the procedures of that level. That's one part. The part of the public record is that she has done herself in doing her investigation. She called people, she asked questions, asked for documents, she combined the report. She did indicate that she was going to issue a report by a certain time. And that deadline passed, and the deadline was set, and that passed through, etc. So it's with the public order. There's very little you can say with the guys. The question from Honorable my brother around the president's call with regard to the sensitivity of concern. For us, it's here for the students, and indicate the extent of the issues of that project. I think you ask for specific information about how much is spent, etc. And where it's spent, but I think I need to perfect this. In a department infrastructure, there's a level of professional services you need to find. I think the call by the president, I think, was that we need to be cautious of appointing consultants to do the jobs for which we are employed. In those areas, I think we need to be able to isolate those. And I think that is a challenge that we probably might raise in setting up the disclosure process. So that the description of consultants is not just a general description, but one that addresses the problem to identify why a CFO with the department that should be running appropriately, except when we have intervention like we have, we need assistance in order to catch up. But a CFO in the department is running, why would we then have another parallel structure of consultants who do the work of the CFO? And that applies to other policy to development people, but they then have other policy developers for that, etc. I think that is the kind of thing that I would ask the CFO to just give those relevant information. In our case, I think we need to have to analyze that information appropriately, and I think with us that relevant information is provided to assist the community. My sense is that in the 2 years that we're talking about, in the department, there has not been an excessive growth.
in this, despite the fact that we are in this kind of situation. Why not may be the case? I'm not saying for a future, but probably in the meantime, you may see the spike, a temporary spike in order for a test to see, and thereafter one to stabilize the significant amount for us for the steps.
So I agree with what you are saying, teaching. The infrastructure department, you've got a certain level of success you need to have. But I think my main problem here is that that level of success which you must have, especially for projects, is the monitoring of that level of consultants, which does that should then rest the relevant DDG. For instance, let's talk the case with the auditor was complaining about their retention monies, their over expenses of VOs. Now, the problem there, that relevant DDG, they should have a method of disciplining those consultants, which at the moment does not exist. I think that you need to work on that. There's got to be a method that they must be disciplined, because you cannot have people that are over their contract amount. So it means that those contractors are just free to do what they want. Your DDG is then failing to monitor them properly. Thank you.
Thank you.
My most supervisory to you on the consultants. The slide here, two slides to this impact, indicates that we're actually on compare year on year, this year, for the year review, we should have reduced our consulting staff, consulting contractual agencies. And in actual fact, there is a bit of a misnomer in the definition of what a consultant is and contractor is, and, us by virtue of the nature of the business that you're running. So if you look at the front page, the annual report, on page, I'm just trying to get to the page, with your indulgence here. On page 208, on page 208, we've categorized the consultants on page 208, I can open it to you right at the bottom. We have done a category of what it is like consultants, contractors, and agency of outsourcers, and given a breakdown of that. You'll see business and advisory services, that's about 78 million rand that we spent in the current year against 38 million last year. And you will realize that this is purely because we have engaged specific interventions to deal with our issues around turnaround. And the bulk of this, if you look at it, you will actually see this SIU, you'll see that there's a question around the internal audit service providers who are engaged to assist. There's some of the apostasy there. There's just a general kind of intervention that we've called for. Your infrastructure and planning and your contractors in that list, these are all linked to EPWP people who engage to assist us roll out our EPWP programs in the municipalities and the provinces. To assist in that. So it's not your pure consultants sitting in the office to assist management with what you're supposed to be actually being as management. Right around legal costs, lawyers that you engage, and agency and support sources, those would be mostly our transversal contracts, CITELS, the State Information Technology Agency, the kind of contracts that you utilize under your fleet, your normal transversal contracts that you have with respect to that treasury has. But in terms of our spend, like I was saying, we went down, but the DDS leverage again further. Because most of the engagements on turnaround happened towards the latter part of last year, which means in this year we're going to have a full benefit of real interventions on turnaround. The actual expenditure on consultants will rise. I'm sure that's what we're going to see next year. But to achieve what we need to achieve. However, we believe that as we engagements of consultants in most around interventions. What we have as part of the skills delivery or the deliverables for those consultants is very strong skills transfer to our own people in so that then we can have a benefit of the interventions. So I just wanted to clarify that, but that's really the on the main boat, the main consultants that we use. The ones that you use under infrastructure, those are your normal consultants that you utilize for professional services, and those who constitute part of the actual project spend to do your actual design and conceptualization of what you are doing from an infrastructure point of view. And normally that's also regulated from an industry point of view of maximum of 80% of your project and you'll be in your consultant spend. That's what it is.
Thank you, Chair. State functions, I think it's a question of state functions. What do state functions include? What was the need to increase the state functions? State functions include all those responsibilities that have been carried out. I think mainly the ministerial envelope. Thank you. one of the issues that Chair, I would like to request that we recognize what has happened in Martinique. I think the outcomes of what the General Director seem to suggest that there was 15 to some. And I think that is limited even the best in general productivity from being able to do everything, except to raise the fact that there are no systems to deal with, there are no systems to provide, there is no policy to manage the production. And I think that is what has been a challenge to us in the current year. We have to go back and look at transaction by transaction, look at the nature of the transaction, scrutinize how it was done, measure that means the performance of the public finance management, the regulations, and the practice moves, and classify it according to order to account. And that means we have to do with the department is concluded. That's why we no longer have that issue of completeness of the regulations. And just like that, we are trying to approve the policy that it needs to deal with the issues of detection and prevention and action when it is covered. That is it will then help us going forward. It will not correct what has already not happened. In that regard, I think I can give you the comfort that we have to going forward. The internal work now has to do with what is required to review what we are implementing. Manning effectively, and they will need to provide. I think the current audit committee, and I'm to answer another question that relates to that. The current audit committee was appointed by the previous acting director general in November, December last year. It's failing and started to function in February, September. And I can tell you it is better. There have been several meetings, they attended meetings, it will actually reinforce attendance, insight, and accountability. One of the other areas that we are beginning to, we have set out a mechanism to absolutely make sure that we arrest the scheme of regular expenditure and make it corrective action, is that we set up what we call accountability management committee. That gives specific attention to all these disciplinary policies. Deal with them, or that only plan, action plan, is no longer a paper that we sit and review around the general council. Every month, we go back and say, where are we with regard to each of the actions, by whom, what's responsible for it, and we take action with regard to all of this. That is the way in which we are putting in place those measures so that we may go question. So the general will review this once more as part of the dashboard assessment, and I would hope that they will be able to give the correct and objective view of what is actually happening currently with regard to dealing with this issue. The internal audit unit first, we as well do the structure. We now have to make sure that they comply with the statutory requirements. Separating them from the investigation, we want to beef up the investigation appropriately. And also, in that separation allows the general to check on the investigators so that they do their job on time, diligently, appropriately, etc. In terms of this standard. I want that the general compliant with the standards of the general, so that what the general can begin to place reliance on the work of the internal audit. That includes the review of their work, the timeliness of it, which is one of the things that we're always trying, and partly because of the capacity. With the DDG, certain DDG, corporate structures, we prioritize certain posts within the internal audit in order to have them with the upfront field. And they went out and advertised them. So we in this year we have increased the capacity for the internal audit unit. There's a question that relates to
panel of consultants or whatever that is being used. There's a panel, yes, and that they put in place, and that panel relates to the investigations. In general, they are taken by the investigation part of the not necessarily it's our idea. Sometimes based on the severity of the particular case or whether it was part of the sense of problem, they refer to something. But most of the time they utilize specialists in forensic and investigations who are in the panel that service providers to do specific investigations that have been referred to them. And that panel, that's the reference to that panel is that panel. Now, the reason why you have that panel is you want to do an assessment of the institution done with the supply chain management in terms of the compliance plan. Their eligibility, then you do security clearance, because they will then, when doing investigations, have access to everything that is available. They have complied with all the basic requirements. Usually it's the firm's security to go on the and others that are in the forensic investigation. So when they're the case, they can ask any three or five of them to code for based on the terms of reference, do that investigation about the procedure. So they give us that. And that's why we believe to command action taken the traffic based on professional action. That is the panel that we are currently I'll ask Ms. Manisha Patel the honorary director general to just comment on the issue of risk for this report at the area of
we
are in the process of reconstructing most of the data, so the department will go back to the plans to authenticate the claims that we have. We are working closely with National Clip in those regards to assist us with the recovery. There is a complexity with respect to those things that the old debts that are owned by other kind of funds, the funds related to those monies are being returned to Treasury, and it is incumbent upon us to prevail over Treasury and to look at how we can then recover those monies or get those money back into our coffers in a way to alleviate our overdraft. We are, however, in the process of ensuring that we do not grow this overdraft out of kilter or out of and doing that in the sense that National Treasury has allowed us an opportunity or has allowed the clients opportunity to pay us on the basis of the devolved budgets. Before the client funds were very hesitant to pay because we could not provide them with itemized bills and would want to pay. We have so far managed to deal with the matter in that regard. We have also, in addition to issues around private leases, where the major part of our actual overdraft is resolved, where we do not have disagreements, we have disagreements that have expired, and as a result, clients do not want to pay because of the lack of disagreements. We have also managed to find a mechanism where we are going to be able to find an easier way of regularizing those leases. That process is fully underway, and we hope that by December we will have resolved the matter with respect to the leases. The issue with client departments is not necessarily, one can necessarily say there's a resistance to pay. I think there's a level of willingness to pay by the client departments when you compare the unwillingness to pay. I think the issue is with us that we have to do what is necessary to do, get the necessary documentation that the clients want, and then we can be on a proper trajectory of recovering our money. We have since gone out to market to deal with the issue of the itemized bills to market to get an accounting system in place. That's close to the end of September. The process of adjudication, of evaluation adjudication is in process. We hope that by end of this month we will have made the award so that the process of the customization and rollout of the system can start in earnest so that by 1st of April we can then be in an automated operating model with respect to those governments. So yes, there's a plan in place, and this plan is being crafted jointly with Treasury, with the support of Treasury, to ensure that our overdraft is standard. We believe that it will take us a bit of time because of the enormity of the task at the end for us to, for the construction of the debtors and process, but we believe that we will win. So it's a two-pronged approach. One is to ensure that we maintain the overdraft level that is at, that we not grow it, and secondly, we go back to the historical issues of that have contributed to it, resolve those, and then we can close the year on a much better footing.
Thank you, Chair. The next question relates to the Chapter 7 amendments and the project that you answered. Questions and they relate to the extent to which package has not been met. Yes, I think as reflected in the report, those packages were not met. Certainly, in the report, we kept some of the issues that I found. The to and fro processes of review of this argument sometimes almost on an endless basis. Second is, Chair, I think in my assessment and analysis of this, I have realized, and I think my colleagues agree, that part of dealing with some of the gaps around performance in the relationship between ourselves and clients is about the extent to which we have not, or I have witnesses in compliance with the DM. Take the requirements for you. This is our business. In the same manner as Treasury has the public implementation of the public financial act as their business. should be mighty, therefore, compliance with you, with the GIAM on the same issues as they do with the DFMA. And make sure that anyone doesn't comply, there are consequences, etc., from department to department. One of the things for them in the GIAM is that when department, although departments are expected to appoint, to have the IUMs, it's not those UMs that are expected to be submitted by the department. They're just only second players in the process. What we have done is numerous cases now discussed with national treasurer on how we operationalize and we are able to take charge of the issue of the UMs, and therefore devise the mechanism by which non-submission of your non-development of the UM should actually be related to the expenses you receive funds and investment. And that's critical by us. And that engagement, I think, the national treasurer has been implemented. It's just a matter of us operationalizing it up so that in future we can, in the period of budgeting, utilize it as a stick, as a carrot stick for those departments that don't qualify. And that will affect the issue of the air. In the current year, in all engagements with departments, we have put the issue of SLA and the grants as a key issue that we want to the department to start to comply with. I expect that there will be an increase in compliance because of this. The economy of children acknowledge this and they have actually undertaken to help that compliance. I'm going to ask the DTC, yes, to deal with all the matters that relate to ICR that were asked in terms of the non-maximum targets and the chain and the articulation of the comments on deviations.
Thank you, Honourable Member. The question was relevant to Mount Frere in terms of a PPOB. What a PPOB means is the mission to occupy and build. Whereupon, once you receive that permission to occupy and build, the formal acquisition process then transpires in terms of signing a deed of donation or a deed of sale, etc. That's just an explanation. In terms of Mount Frere, there's two PPOBs that requires to be obtained. One from the municipality from us, in where the municipality requires our land to build a taxi rank, and that PPOB is still in engagement. And then we require, DPW requires a PPOB from the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, where we require a piece of land from them to relocate our SAPs, which is our client. And this regard, this particular PPOB is also still engaged in engagement. Therefore, the target has not been achieved in this regard. Thank you.
Thank you. I with your assistance, can I ask then my team corporate services to deal with all matters that are needed for HR human resources that may follow it. But I assume that there was a team around the filling of both sourcing, planning, etc. DG, I think, in respect of the case, some of those questions you have responded to, but I want to touch on the succession plan one as well. Although the policy prescripts within the public service does not make provision for succession planning within the public service, because we were adopted an open competition policy, you know, for questions about nepotism and so on and so on and so on and so on. You can't reserve posts for specific individuals. No matter what you do, for level 1 to level 12, they have to be advertised either internal security or the public service. And for SMS provided for in the script, they must all be advertised nationally. I'm not fulfilling permanently. So those salaries are there. However, the report we gave earlier is also an attempt on our side in trying to increase capacity where it's lacking, and the focus where it's there on your young professionals. Because as we put that problem into place, and attract these young professionals and engineers who are able to increase our pool of skills in that regard. And as we have them in the system, then they're able to have the necessary exposure and to gain the necessary experience, and therefore be able to complement where the challenges occur, where there is attrition, people departing.
instead of the 8 provisionary suspension, what has happened then? DG has responded tightly to the question. One of the persons was the ex-DG, who was subsequently dismissed, received a letter the first week of July. And he is now out of the department. However, the process continued because he has declared a dispute and challenging that dismissal. Of the remainder, 4 also received dismissal, and 2 are pending the decision of the chairperson in that regard. Performance agreements, there's a system that DG has put in place. We had 2 outstanding senior managers, and DG has then subsequently taken necessary steps by issuing them with letters why the disciplinary action must not be taken against them, and it's simply compliant. So for the current financial year, it's 100% compliant insofar as performance agreements are concerned. Yes, the annual report reflects that there are 4 SMS members received not increases or bonuses, so to speak. But in truth, the senior management members have not received any bonuses for the 2012-2013 financial year. The 4 that did receive are those that got promoted during the course from the previous financial year 2011-2012, but got then paid into the financial year 2012-2013. And as a result, that got reflected as having received those payments. But we have not analyzed for SMSs. We've analyzed the performances, we just have to do the moderation so that then we can then determine who gets allocated what. So currently, none of the SMS members have received any messages. I can either put that on the board. Thanks, DG.
There are quite a lot of questions that I will give the CFO the platform for. And I have given him enough time to sort them out intentionally, but I want to clear everybody else. There was a question on border and understanding that needs to be done. I think that the DMG, the department's number one, is on the performance that they do first participate. Which is a major concern that we are grappling with. Perhaps let me ask for response to this question.
Okay, same DG. In terms of the border fence, we've got two programs that we are managing. The first program deals with the Department of Agriculture, whereby we reinvest them as a form of recoverable once they spend the money around the border fence. So expenditure on that area depends on their claims. The second one is in line with the problems that we've got, the rhino poaching along the Kruger National Park. We've also agreed with the Department of Environmental Affairs and Funders, whereby in November 2012, we have transferred an amount of 35 million to augment their budget in repairing the fence, which was identified within Kruger Park as a critical area to manage and control the problem of poaching. So on regular basis, we meet with both environmental affairs and some parts to look to review the progress of that.
DG, can you expand on the monitoring part of that 35 million?
In terms of the memorandum of the agreement, it asks public works at a funding department, and then the implementing department is the Department of Environmental Affairs. But however, in terms of their project, they are using SANPARKS to do the actual maintenance. We're meeting on quarterly basis to receive the performance report in terms of the project. based on that in terms of the memorandum of agreement between the three entities.
Chair, what I want you to check is that is that the amount being transferred, what of or it is being transferred in phase, so that when transferred in phase they implement the account, then transfer the second, you know, for the second phase, or transfer it part of.
The part that we transferred to environmental affairs was the whole amount as part of the MOU. It was based on their estimate of the work as well as the conditions to say before they can continue to procure material, they need assurance that they've got the money in their bank account. So we did that based on that agreement.
I think what the chairperson was asking, and you haven't answered that, so we're still checking. But the chairperson is asking that you're giving money from the department. How do you monitor that money? That's what we need. How is it monitored? Yes, but what systems have you got in place to monitor that money? There's value for the expenditure of that money. If you can just give us what systems have you got in place to do that.
I think the monitoring process that we have is that we've got the bill of quantity for the specification, also the project execution plan, which is supported by the cash flow board. In terms of how we review the progress, we look at progress in terms of their PEP and then match it with the amount of an expenditure.
Chair, I understand this other processes of document, you know, but do they ever go on site to check site inspection, to check that what is appearing on the document that have been submitted to them is in line with what is appearing on the ground?
I'll say that we have not done physical inspection on the project.
Mr. Nyama Pillars has covered me. That's where you get these negative audit reports, TJ. Thank you.
Oh, not just that, you know, we'll follow it up.
Do you have anything to say on that matter?
No,
I think that was not the concerns of that.
That's why honourable members always ask about monitoring systems if we have got them. Because we can't just transfer the 5 million and that's the end of it. You don't know whether it has all been utilized. The quality of the resources used, whether it's of a good quality or not, that's where the problem is.
Because, honourable members, we were in Makuleke last month. You remember people were complaining about lions. And why did people continue to complain about lions even while money has been transferred? And they're dealing with that problem of making sure that lions don't go through the fence.
I will finish here for a little bit of a brief again and request that they will all, for example, 6,000 as an EPWP. The rest is the DPG responsible for the EPWP. Could you please provide the response?
Thank you, Jim. The CKA is covered the training and skills development application of project performance and targets and implementation models, monitoring and identifying triggers. Briefly, in that order, training and skills development obviously is a key component of the extreme personal experiment. But we need honourable members to be very aware in terms of limitations in terms of development. In the LP phase one, the objective clearly stated each and every work opportunity will be linked to pain. The program then achieved the number of work opportunities that failed miserably in terms of training component. And the reason for that was simply funding. So what we have done in EBLP phase is that we training will be linked with the prioritized, the appropriate sub-program level, and that is linked to the funding that becomes available. So what we are saying in EBLP phase two, we cannot promise what is not funded. And that is the reality with regard to the... So, yes, participants in EBLP, they get on the job training, exposure in terms of which is infrastructure project, or which social project, they do get that kind of experience. But just formal training, that's due to the funding that we have secured through the Department of Higher Education training. And that's actually clearly stated in that documentation, and we can will make that available. That will clearly start up in phase three also. Each and every objective is linked to clearly funded, prioritized through national training. The application of projects. The EPLP, we'd like to believe, is a learning project indeed. And we have had numerous cases of application of programs and projects. Just keep to name but one. In the case of the Shivambele project in KwaZulu-Natal, we have it had been because of such a successful and exemplary program rather, it had been replicated in other provinces, and we are consistently doing that with all other programs and projects that work well, so that we always talk to implementing bodies and say that there's no need to reinvent the wheel. If there's work in a particular municipality or in a particular province, we would like that we have a forum where we share successful implementation or models. Performance against targets, we monitor the performance against targets on a quarterly basis, but we have set clearly five-year targets. That was the 4.5 million target that the honourable member referred to, Chair. And against that target, yes, it's entirely right, which means at the end of quarter one of the final year, we sadly at 78% to get 4.5 million. But we also monitor the performance on a quarterly basis against the annual target. So, which means there's a three quarters depth. The second quarter has just concluded, as a matter of fact, and we are running our data quality and evaluation checks on that data before we can report on quarter two, on where we are now after the quarter that ended in September. With regard to I mentioned the implementation models and how we replicate. There's not in EPLP there are different implementation models and vary across the different sectors of the program. There are four sectors, so one can hardly expect an infrastructure type of project and program to be implemented exactly the same way as social sector project, for instance. But what we do also in this case is we look at the different cases where a particular implementation model has worked. And then we shared our implementation form saying that which is the kind of implementation problems can be overcome because it has worked somewhere else. But we will also share with this committee the proposals that we have set up for EPLP phase 3 to at least have some very clear guidelines regarding how EPLP programs and projects should be implemented. Monitoring, as I've mentioned, we do monitor at 2 levels. We get the quarterly data reports. That's the one aspect. But the key aspect, as members, as different members, raised here, the question of beyond the post PEC, what else do we do? And I want to link this with the question of data integrity. And we have a specific initiative to what we call our data quality assessments, where we sample a certain number of projects across the 9 provinces, across the over 3-4 sectors of the EWP, to look at when the citizens we have received a report that says 20 women work here and so many people with disabilities, etc. Then we go on site and verify what they have achieved with it. We accept that that's the one question that we strengthen the monitoring linked to the data quality issues by conducting site visits. And in case where we receive complaints or challenges, we follow up on each every individual case. As we have noted the issues that came up from the most recent site visit of the portfolio committee in the Western Cape that I unfortunately could not attend. I want to give members the assurance that we follow up. Conduct our own site visits to sampling, but we also follow up on individual queries and cases that's brought to our attention. With regards to the question of some members appear or some participants appear to be non-productive, as your honourable member has put it, we try to pick up on the only way we can measure productivity is look at EWP not only as a program that provides work opportunities, but also as creating assets and delivering services. So each and every project we visit, we know either there should have been a road that was paid or whatever project for service delivered in terms of HD and HDCBC in the social sector or in the environment context. So that has not been the case of our site visits, where each and every project has been linked with either assets paid or services delivered. And lastly, from my side, I would say, we have taken stock also of phase 2 through research and midterm review, and many of the issues raised have been factored into EWP phase 3 that we will make a formal presentation on expanded public works phase 3 as soon as it has been come to the appropriate chance. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Maybe I did not hear well the issue of the training. Our understanding is that the core of this particular program is employment, training, and skill development. Now, it's like it's a choice. It depends whether you have got a budget or not. And then you continue. If you don't have a budget, you don't train the people. I'm not sure whether incentive grant does not include training budget. If the Department of Education is responsible for skilling
we
stage of the EPWP to other academies, then move to EPWP 3 with the same challenges that are in two. I think members will bear with me that, you know, I think I've seen it in the report, the understanding. One of the reasons mentioned was that the delay in the filling of the vacancy. What qualification is needed for a person to be part of the EPWP beneficiary? We're saying South Africa is faced with a major challenge of poverty, unemployment, and inequality. And this EPWP is one of the strategies to, for the poor to benefit out of it. So if there is vacancy, I don't think even a week must be taken before the vacancy is being filled. A week or 2 days, you can get a person, because most of the municipalities have got a database of all the unemployed or the grade 12 layers. So what is the difficulty in filling the vacancy in the EPWP? Secondly, the issue of the reporting system, because municipalities probably are just confused about which reporting system are they supposed to use. Now is this, now is that, now is this, you know, which makes us worry about the accuracy of the statistics that we're getting from the municipalities, because they are very confused. They will say, we don't know which reporting system are we going to, are we supposed to use, because it changes now and then. Now we're moving to EPWP with the same challenge. The issue of the branding of the EPWP, I think, was also one of the challenges. I thought we were given this not even coach. No, not a judge coach. Not all of us, I think all of us and this which makes more what Jacket reflection. When I arrived there, they were new, they were given in the morning while the coaching at least visited the project in the afternoon, you know. The branding, you know, how do we brand this program, such an important program? The other one here, the issue of the recruitment strategy was also one of the matters that was raised in some of the municipalities, which the departments must sit down with all the stakeholders and iron out some of the challenges, you know. I think it was in George. The issue of the appointment of people with disabilities in this EPWP was also a matter of concern. How do we deal with those issues before we can talk of EPWP 3? Otherwise, we carry all this load to EPWP and experience the same problems that we're experiencing with EPWP 2. The monitoring check. I don't know the area that was visited, where people were saying that they've just been called at home, you know, and being loaded into the truck. They were feeling this, they were feeling the potholes. Yes. They were not even feeling the potholes. They were finding the bad things. They just not feeling it. I remember Church Hala for Umi. You know, they're just doing things that are supposed to. After doing that, after a week, there's another photo. While we are saying we need to create jobs, assisting, you know, assisting municipalities or the province to be able to maintain the roads. But if we don't monitor those, whether it's contractors or whosoever, I think we'll have a serious problem. Thank you.
Can I have a broad follow-up? But it would be shorter than Honorable Ngonyama Vila because he's already covered it. I think, Gigi, when we go out on these oversights, you need to trust somebody who's responsible. This state is not going to be there. Because there are a lot of questions. But instead, yeah, there's not getting them there on site. So we need to have somebody who's responsible. Secondly, about 2 weeks ago, I was in Rusubisikiti, a person, and EPWP workers had no protective clothes. They were picking up rubber with their hands.
Tita only in Northwest, I think. So there's a major problem with EPWP. Lastly, did the abnormal region was okay. Let us assist you here. The issue of the vehicles, the auditors picked it up in our interaction with the auditor. But I would then suggest to you, DT, what has worked in the past is that all views in future must be approved by your office or the DDD of infrastructure, because that's where the corruption is, those vehicles. And also what auditors picked up is their retention money. Now one, ask yourself, when a contractor has completed his work, what would make him not to go and finish and get his retention money, because that's his profit. So there's got to be a problem somewhere. I cannot answer it, but the answer has got to come from somebody. What is wrong with their retention money? Why are their retention money, their retention not work not done? Why are the, what is happening? So something that we need to look at. Then lastly, the auditor also complained about the IE works, that it's not fully functional. Your lease agreement got no end date. Can you also look into that, please? I think those are the two issues that I will look at.
Thank you. When we talk about the monitoring system being very poor, we really need to continue our oversight in provinces. Some of the things, maybe the officials that go around with us, those for the first time, but I don't know what happens, because you go to the next province, the same systems are really not in place. We are saying now that we're going to go into EPWP phase 3. We would like to maybe have got the database for the people who worked in EPWP 2, so that at least you the type of the people who worked there before. And when I spoke about some of the very good projects that are implemented in some provinces, I was referring to Isibindili project in the Northern Cape. I haven't seen that project anywhere except in the Northern Cape. That's why I was saying some of the very good programs are not anywhere else. That is why there is no consistency with the other provinces. Lastly, Chair, is to check KZN used to be the best. Chairperson. Okay,
thank you.
I was saying KZN used to be the best province as far as EPWP was concerned. It used to be the best, but now I'm looking at the report here. The spending is only for 7%. Maybe if you could give us a background as to what happened. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. One of the members were sitting in the podium. Correctional services one, the landlord to vacate, please. The landlord to vacate so that they can prepare for their meeting. The tenants one, the landlord to vacate. So I really don't know what to do. The landlord was very democratic country. They don't have the power of saying no, I'm the landlord. Because we only have got equal rights and there are no other animals with more rights. So I don't know, honorable members, can we agree that the remaining questions, if it's possible, be responded when the entities come and make the presentation? Okay. Or can we have an extra day on the very meeting?
There are some of the suggestions, so I agree with you, there are many countries, so I'm going to say.
Because an entity like IGRIM is not a very big entity. Some of the other issues can be addressed in that prior to their presentation. Do we agree? Honorable members, our guests, thank you very much for the presentations and for the responses. But what I want to say is that EPWP this morning mistakenly I was calling a friend and it landed in CJ's book. CJ is out there on EPWP. The person that she reported about was some of the district provinces not helping National Department of Public Works on EPWP. Last time it was my district Mubane in Limpopo that is also not cooperating. So I think before proceeding to phase 3, we need to look into challenges that are in phase 2. Because there's no need for us to go to phase 3 with this burden of challenges. Elson, we need to look into that and check on it. Otherwise, on that note, thank you very much, and Khenit, the rest of the day.
Thank you.